Hey, David, how are you?
I am great. How are you today, Stephen?
I'm good. We're here on our annual member special, so thank you all for supporting the Relay FM network and your favorite podcast. It means a lot to us. We're the host of Mac Power Users, and we're not going to talk about computers today. We're going to talk about getting away from computers a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, that's the fun thing about these member shows is there's no script, baby. We can go as far away from tech as we want.
That's right. Yes, we were kind of talking about, you know, what we should talk about. And we kind of came with this idea of talking about hobbies or things that we do to get out of the office, get out of in front of the computer and spend some time out in the real world, because that's something that really helps keep me balanced and keep me from working many, many more hours than I need to. So
yeah,
something I always look forward to my schedule.
And it's a little timely. I mean, this year, as we record this, the vaccine is making the rounds in the United States. And I apologize to the folks out there who haven't got it yet in the other countries.
Yeah.
I hope you get it soon. But things are opening up here. And we're both vaccinated, which gives us the opportunity to kind of get out some more. So it's all good.
Yeah, it's been fun to sort of re-enter the world. I've been to a basketball game. I went to a football, like our college football team has a spring practice that's open just to the public. And I went to that with my dad and it was nice, you know, still taking the precautions that people want us to take. But it is nice to get back out into the world. And I think if I don't time track, but I would guess that in 2020, my time in front of a screen was way higher than it has been in previous years.
I mean, I had so many weird things happen to me. Like my car battery kept dying because I wasn't driving it. You know, it would just sit in the driveway for a month, you know?
Yeah.
And that just, you know, weird stuff. But this year we're going to get out and I thought it'd be fun to talk about ways that we get out. One of the things that comes up on the show frequently is stories about Stephen destroying Apple equipment with bike crashes. And it's a rabbit hole I've always wanted to go down during the show, but you know, it never seemed like it was the right time. So tell me about your bicycles and exactly how suicidal are you in the way you ride your bike? Because I ride a bike all the time, and I don't think I've crashed since I was like, you know, 15 maybe.
Oh, you're not really riding then if you're not crashing.
I guess.
I've had a few accidents over the years. Nothing serious, thankfully. You definitely can get hurt on a bicycle. Please wear a helmet. I was at the point in my life if I just passed somebody not wearing a helmet, I'm just like, dude, buy a helmet.
Yeah.
So I've really ridden since a kid. And for me, my first love is, you know, some people call it mountain biking or trail riding. We don't have mountains here in the Delta in the South. We have some hills and we have several good places, you know, within a 30 or 45 minute drive from me to go ride dirt trails. And there's a set of them in particular that I've ridden really since I was a kid. My dad would take my brother and I out and I, you know, some of these trails I know like the back of my hand. And for me, it's getting out and just being able to be in nature, because you're, at least where we are, you're riding through the woods, and that's always nice. You're out of the sun, but you also see deer and rabbits and snakes and stuff. It's kind of fun. And for me, it's just a way to really do something that is about as far removed from podcasting as possible.
You know, I have so many mountain bike stories to share with you. I don't know if the listeners want to hear any of them, but where I live, Southern California, it has mountains and, you know, earthquake land. So we've got a lot of uppy parts. And the where I live in the foothills of a mountain. So I can get on a mountain bike trail from my driveway. I mean, I just ride down the street behind the supermarket. There's a trailhead to Cleveland National Forest. And I've ridden a lot of those trails and hiked even more of them over the years. It's Southern California mountains, so it's not like where you guys are. There aren't a lot of big trees. We have oak trees and some trees, but it's pretty scrubby desert style riding. But I've had a lot of fun experiences mountain biking in those hills.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You had asked me about the bikes that I have. My mountain bike and my road bike are both Trek models, the Marlin 7 and then my road bike, I think, is the 1.2. They're both older at this point. So, like, going on the website now, it's very different because they change them like cars. You know, every year or 2 years, there's a there's a changeover in the models. But really, the reason I ride Trek is because for a long time, the best local bike shop here in Memphis was a Trek dealership. And so wanting to do business with them and liking their service, that's kind of where I've ended up. And, you know, occasionally I get questions. Like a few days ago, I posted a picture on Instagram of my mountain bike leaning against a tree. And I always get questions like, hey, you know, what should I buy? What, you know, what should I look for? And my advice always is find a reputable, well-reviewed local bike shop, because those, you know, they're usually small businesses. Some of them are owned by the company, like Trek is buying up a lot of local bike shops. But even then, you have people who are local, they know the area, they know what sort of terrain you may be on, and they're just excited about riding. And so having their advice and input in a purchase decision is like, this is something that I firmly believe, like, you should not buy a bike on the internet. Now, I'll talk about my third bike that the frame came off the internet, at least, but the local bike shop to me is key, not only in service and repair, but even purchasing decisions or, hey, I've got this, you know, but, you know, maybe it's not working for me. What do you suggest, making changes and tweaks? That is really invaluable.
Yeah, so my mountain bike, which I don't own anymore, was a Specialized Rockhopper.
Yeah.
And, and I think I paid like $500 for it. It was not like the fully loaded one. I remember when I bought it, the guy's like, well, you know, if you get this like carbon fiber seat, which is another $100, it'll save like 17 ounces on your seat. And I'm like, dude, look at me. You know, if I want to save 17 ounces, I just need to stop eating pizza. I wasn't looking to get like the you know, idealized mountain bike, but, you know, like I said, I rode it for like 10 years. I had all sorts of crazy experiences. I remember one day I was going to court and I got chased by a skunk in the morning on a ride. So I was like, you know, trying to get up. It's called Mustard Road where I live. And it is a hell of a climb. And there's a skunk running behind me. And I'm like hauling this hill on my bike, trying to not get squirted. Because what do? Call the judge and say, I can't show up today. I got squirted by a skunk, you know?
Yeah, that's probably not a professional move, right?
Then one day I almost ran over a rattlesnake. And, you know, it's just like all of a sudden I realized that, oh, I broke my wrist. I did. So I did have a wipeout since I'm 15. I had a really good wipeout on that bike. And I just got to a point where I realized, you know, I'm not that old, but I'm old enough that, you know, I just don't want to be wiping out. You know, I have so many friends that broke collarbones on their mountain bikes and stuff. Yes. So I decided to turn my trail work into hikes instead of biking. And frankly, I was never that good at it. I mean, there are guys that are really talented on mountain bikes, and I was not one of them. But there's a whole bunch of single tracks near me, which are really fun. The funniest story, okay, let me tell you the funniest story I ever had mountain biking is I got to the top of Mustard Road once, and there's like a lookout point up there, and it's really beautiful. There's a bunch of radio antennas here for Orange County where all the people that have radio stations, they put there. It's kind of like the signal hill for where I live. And I was up there, and there's a guy who had just moved to California from somewhere on the East Coast, you know, and he was worried about mountain lions, because we do have mountain lions in the trails I ride. In fact, about 10 years ago, there was a famous story where a mountain biker got killed by a mountain lion.
Oh, gosh.
That was on Mustard Road. That's the trail I ride. And I've seen that. It's crazy when you see their paw prints up there, because their paw prints are massive. I mean, you know, those animals are big. But so the guy was up there, and I said, you know, you're fine. If you ever see one, you know, the trick is don't run away. Make yourself as large as possible. They really don't want anything to do with humans. The person that got killed was changing a flat. So she was very vulnerable. So anyway, so I'm up there with this guy, just moved to California. And we start down the single track, and we spooked a bobcat. And bobcats are not a mountain lion. They are like maybe one quarter the size.
Okay.
It's like a really big house cat, you know, but they're vicious. I mean, you don't want to like tangle with one, but they don't want to tangle with you either. But we spooked a bobcat as we were going down the single track. And so the bobcat jumps up, and then the guy, I was riding behind him, And he completely freaked out. He literally jumped out of his pedals. I've never seen anything like this, Stephen. It was almost like a cartoon, right?
Yeah.
He jumped up in the air and he made this noise. This is super high. He made a sound like that, but it was a higher pitch, a pitch I didn't know a grown man could make, honestly. And he jumped up in the air and then his bike went into the weeds of the single track and he landed on his feet and just started running. You know, it was like, I was behind him. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? It's a bobcat. You're okay. You're okay, man.
We don't have many super dangerous animals, thankfully, where I ride. You see a lot of deer. They're just not afraid of people near these trails because they just see dudes and kids. And I mean, what I like about, because it's not such a hardcore scene here, that you see a lot of like people with their kids or people starting out. And I really like that. I think that's how I started, right? It was my dad taking me and my younger brother. But so that's definitely my first love. But I did buy a road bike maybe 10 or 11 years ago, and I've updated it since. But for me, that was a different sort of challenge because very often, at least around here, when you're on the road, you're going to go much longer distances than you will on a trail. And it's just a very different type of workout. And I like both, but I love just being in the woods and, you know, coming out dirty if it's dirty outside, you know, if it's been raining or whatever. Don't ride when it's super wet because you'll tail the trails up. But about three years ago, I decided I want a bike to like ride around my neighborhood and run errands. So like the Relay FM PO box is not far from my house. There's a Walgreens and a Target and a grocery store, like all within pretty close distance, definitely rideable easily.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I don't want to take my pretty expensive to me road bike and something happened to it. So let me build a bike that's going to be sort of a commuter bike. And so I bought this frame. It's called a Kilo TT. Bought it from someplace overseas. I forget where they're manufactured, and built a single speed around the frame. And the reason I picked this particular frame, it was well reviewed as far as like a track bike or a single speed bike, but it's black with like pink and purple and green and blue, like sparkles in the paint, and then clear coated. So it just looks black, and then you get up close to it, and you see it kind of comes to life in the sunlight. I love that look, and that is my favorite bike. I think partially because I built it, but partially because it is unique, and I can, you know, that's the one that I ride around the neighborhood. And as I've this year in particular, I wasn't able to ride for so long after having some surgery on my right foot, getting back onto the bike. The spring for me started with that single speed, just like up and down the street initially, right? And then a couple blocks further and a couple blocks further. And I've just recently, in the last couple of weeks, have started mountain biking again, very slowly, very gingerly, just easing my way into it. But I've missed it because for me, it's a chance to not only to get away, but to clear my head if I need to, or if I need to really think on something away from my desk, I can use a ride for that too. I just love it. It's definitely my preferred way of exercise, and some days my preferred mode of transportation if I don't have to go very far.
So the mountain biking thing, like I said, I kind of stopped doing because where I ride, it's highly technical. Like you have to jump logs and there's like a lot going on, and it's very vertical as you're both going up and coming back down.
Yeah.
So it's a really great workout going up, and it's a lot of speed management coming down, and there's a lot of people that are like they have the full suspension bikes and they rock it down that hill.
Mm-hmm.
And there's me riding down half suspension bike, trying not to break my neck, going pretty slow in comparison down a lot of single tracks. So that I'm like the traffic jam, which is kind of why ultimately I sold the bike to a friend and I said, I'm just going to become a hiker, and I hike and I carry a big stick and I have a noisemaker. So don't worry about Max Barkey getting eaten. I'm okay. but I hike all the time. But for like you, I wanted a bike to be able to run errands around the neighborhood. And as my second daughter got her license, we have three cars and four people. And I decided I didn't want to buy another car. So I got a bike, and I got, and where I live, it's very, just like the mountains, I live in the hills. I mean, getting to the market and back is a significant incline, you know? And so I tried doing it on, we had like a beach cruiser around here that we would share and like sometimes take down to the beach with, you know, one gear.
Yeah.
But where I live, that's just not a possibility. I mean, you just can't do a one gear bike up that hill.
Yeah. You know, my little single speed would be brutal.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't even think, I don't know that Arnold Schwarzenegger or, you know, The Rock or whoever the muscle guy of the, you know, present could do it, because it's just physics, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get like a mountain bike, which is what most people do that ride around the neighborhood. They have a mountain bike and they put it down in what they call granny gear to get up the hill. And honestly, I didn't want it to necessarily be my workout source. I just wanted it to be something I could do that was healthy, but I still want to use it primarily for transportation. And I use, I wanted a bike I could go to Home Depot or to the doctor or to the market or to the library or to Starbucks. Those are like my big destinations. So I bought an electric bike about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, maybe. It's a Pedego city commuter. And it looks like a total granny bike if you look at it, but it's got a motor, it's got a battery under the seat, and it's got a pedal assist motor. So you still have to pedal, and you can set the increment between 20 and 100% of pedal assist. And I do my best to keep it down at like 28% when I'm going up the hills, but sometimes I not bump it up to 40. But it's a great bike, and I can get anywhere where I live. I've got panniers on the back. I just bought a thing for the front that my dog can go in, because I am that guy, right? I'll take the dog down to Starbucks with me and hang out now that this is almost over. I mean, it's like a car for me. Anywhere within like 5 miles, I ride the bike to and ride it back. And it honestly doesn't take much longer than getting in a car. One thing I do is I'm super, because of all the hills and cars kind of going up and down these hills, I frequently ride it on the sidewalk. I know you're not supposed to do that, but we don't have a lot of bike lanes, and I just don't want to get killed.
Yeah, thankfully, Memphis has done a pretty good job at adding bike lanes to at least the streets that really need them, and that I appreciate. I have not ridden an electric like cruiser bike like this, but I have a friend of mine bought an electric mountain bike, and I have ridden that before. And the idea is very similar. You can dial in how much assistance you have. Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, it'll just rip you around without at speeds that you wouldn't be able to achieve on your own, or you could climb hills you wouldn't be able to do on your own. It is, I think, a great option for folks like in your situation. Like, that hill is just not reasonable. And for people who, you know, want or need a little bit of that assistance. And so I see it more and more, and I think it's a great way to get started if you're looking for that sort of experience.
Yeah. I mean, and it truly is transportation. I don't say I want exercise, I'm going to get on a bike. In fact, I've ridden the bike, the electric bike, to the gym, you know?
Yeah.
But where the gym that we used to go to was pretty far downhill, and then when you finish a workout, getting home after your workout is pretty far uphill. So like, it's just you know, it is a means of transportation, but I love it. I love riding it. I tried a scooter. Somebody loaned me an electric scooter, and I don't like that nearly as much. I mean, I can't put cargo on it. It's a lot smaller. I feel like it's a lot easier to crash on a scooter than it is on a bike.
Yeah.
And so I'm not hip to the scooter game, but I am all in with my e-bike, and I barely ridden it during the pandemic because there's nowhere for me to go.
Right. It's like, I'm going to ride a Starbucks. Oh, no, I'm not.
But I'm getting it. I'm working on it. I'm cleaning it up now, and
it's good.
And I'm going to be riding it a lot more soon.
That's good. I do want to clear my name before we go. I think I've broken one Apple Watch in a bike crash.
Okay.
But, definitely have had a concussion after a trip over my mountain bike. Wearing a helmet. If I hadn't been wearing a helmet, it would have been way worse. Wear a helmet.
Yeah.
And most people don't know, if your helmet has an impact, you need to replace it. So if you do crash and you use your helmet, it is a consumable, as as silly as that seems, you need to replace it after an impact. But yeah, I've, you know, definitely had my fair share of coming off of it. That happens sometimes. Thankfully, never on the road, but you know, you gotta be careful out there.
It's hard for me because of the hills, that cars like to go up and down the hills very fast, and a lot of the hill roads have turns in them.
Yeah, and you won't be seen.
Yeah, they won't see you, and they're coming around a turn on a hill, and a lot of times they take the turn tight, which goes right through the bike lane. I see people do it all the time. So I am, like, if where there are flat, straight sections, I'll go on a bike road or off the sidewalk, but you know, there's just so many people driving and looking at their phones and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm maybe paranoid. I guess that's part of the problem of being a lawyer. You hear about all these things that go wrong. But I'm pretty careful about the way I ride, but I ride all the time. I've got something you can buy.
Oh boy. It is like Mac Power Users.
Yeah, it is. Let's do that for a minute. Nerdy stuff for your bike. And I only have one thing.
Okay.
But I suspect you may have more. But the thing I would like is, I heard an interview of this lady that owns a company called Thousand, and she makes bike helmets that are just awesome. And it's explorethousand.com. And I bought one of her helmets and I love it. It's like got a stripe on it, like Speed Racer. It's just the best helmet.
Oh yeah, these look awesome.
Have you got anything into like the technical gear, like tracking your ride and all that?
Yeah, I mean, I track with Strava on my Apple Watch and my phone.
Okay.
So nothing too groundbreaking there, probably.
Yeah.
But one thing that I just got them in the mail just yesterday, I think, so I haven't even opened them yet. But I found on Etsy someone making an AirTag mount for your bike that's also a reflector. So you could put it around your seat stem and have a reflector back there, which you should have, and stick an AirTag in it. So I'm going to throw that in the show notes because that's pretty fun.
Yeah, I put my, before the AirTag, I had a one of the competitors, I forget which one it was, but I've already replaced it with an AirTag, and I just took electrical tape and taped it to the underside of the seat.
Yeah.
And that works fine. I mean, it's not going to come off, and it mm-hmm. transmits just fine.
Yeah, and looking on Etsy, like, there's already ones that fit where you screw in a water bottle holder. Like, there's lots of things out there. But yeah, I mean, you can go all in on, like, a bike computer and stuff. For me, it's like, Strava's enough, and I don't want something else to have to worry about. Like, I'm already have my phone with me, and if I'm working out, already have my Apple Watch. So that's enough for what I need.
And apparently I ride it enough that people know of me, because, like, I was giving out Halloween candy this year, and one of the little kids said, "Oh, you're the guy on the white bike that's always riding around."
That's cool.
Like, yeah, that's me.